Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. And today we're in the studio with Janelle and Beth and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And we've just, you know, we just have such an awesome God. And we just always have to remember that He's always there with us, no matter what we're going through, because He goes through it with us. And we're going to continue in Luke 18, 1 through 14. And today we are going to touch on, why do believers faint?
You know, I'm just going to focus in on the parable of the widow, the persistent widow with the judge, as far as the story time, and we're going to go into how we falter and faint. Last week, we were talking about that as believers, that when we don't do what Jesus said, we ought to pray so that we don't lose heart. What happens is that we can have a spiritual fainting spell, and that God has prepared us with the tool that equips us so that we will not faint spiritually, and that is prayer. And so when He is looking and talking to His disciples, He tells them, you ought to pray and never lose hope. And then He goes into the parable of the widow and the judge. Anybody feel that they have the story down where they want to tell it? Nope. No way, huh? Okay, I was just hoping to see.
How long did you want this to...
You're so funny. The judge in the town, there was a judge in a town, but he did not fear God, and he did not respect man. And in the same town, there was a widow. And this widow had an issue where this man was doing bad things, and so she kept going to the judge and begging the judge for justice. But the judge didn't want to help her. He didn't want to answer her, and he just kept putting her off and putting her off, but she kept begging and kept begging. And eventually he said, even though I do not fear God and I do not respect man, I'm going to have to answer this widow, because if I don't, her persistence is going to wear me out. I mean, he's like, wow. And Jesus said, listen to what the judge says, because when God's people cry out to Him day and night, He will always listen to them and give what is right. He will quickly answer them. And so He said, but when the Son of Man comes, will He find people who believe in Him? That's the big question. And so we falter in our belief. Does anybody, you know, usually my faltering happens when it's related to something happening to Greg or to my kids. And even with Grace University, praying over and begging God for my students and for the staff, I'm just confessing my sins. I become spiritually faint that something could happen to them. And so we all have moments where we spiritually faint. We have them. We don't do what we ought and pray. And so let's read 2 Corinthians 2:11. And this one kind of gives us a verse that explains what the enemy's up to.
It says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes.
That's good.
Okay,
he is scheming, and that's the whole point. He is scheming. And I think it's interesting. It's funny because I found this from Mattoon Treasury. But I don't know, years ago I was studying this, and I honestly think I read this probably in Bible Knowledge Commentary or in Matthew Henry. I don't know what it is, but when they describe Satan's schemes, they like to use the letter D, like alliteration. But what are different ways that you can see, just you guys, your perception that Satan causes us to falter and faint? What is he? What are the tools he uses in our lives? What have you found that he's
used? Are you looking for D words?
No, like no, it doesn't have to be. Just what is it?
I think he always gives you that that you're not worthy enough to do something. Mm-hmm. He's always at your mind constantly telling you that, no, you can't do that. What are you thinking?
Other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we do not, and you know, it says, this is not against flesh and blood.
Right.
And it says it right there. But sometimes other people, you're just like, oh, no.
He
uses them.
The material, too, like making it look like this is just an everyday occurrence, or this isn't something that concerns God because it's physical and it's flesh and blood. And it's losing sight that the battle is a spiritual battle.
It sure is easy. And all those, I think I can identify for every single one of those, having had the circumstance happen to me in somehow, some circumstance, I don't know. Mattoon gives 9. And then on several of them, he gives 2 words for the same thing, just different ways. And so I think he actually has 10, 11, 12. I probably would say he actually has 12, but he puts some of them together. The first one was what Sandy talked about, the deception. And it kind of incorporates a little bit of what Janelle was talking about. And he says that there are 2 kinds of deception that we deal with in our life as believers. And the first of the possessions that we deal is our possessions. Mm. Possessions become more important than people. Mm. I mean, more important than God. And so sometimes even the possession of people can become more important than God. And so that's a big form of deception that we deal with. And the second one that he says is the biggest is that my sin won't hurt me. Mm. Playing around with sin. Mm. And I even saw some posts yesterday on Facebook, and it just made me hurt. And it was something along the lines, why is everybody talking about sin? I just don't get it why they all have to focus in on sin. What's the big deal? Just get on with life and move on. And I wanted to get on there and say, honey, because if you don't deal with your sin, you can't get right with God. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be dealing with it. Just the mere fact that you don't understand that it's a big deal breaks my heart. And it wasn't even somebody that I knew. It was somebody else's response to somebody else's. And so I didn't. It's one of those I just prayed. Mm-hmm. I persisted in prayer for somebody I didn't know, because it was obvious that she didn't have a full understanding of why we need to confess our sin. Beth, would you open up to Galatians 6:7? And Sandy, you go to Matthew 13:22. And I want us to look and see what these passages have to say about deception and how easy it is for us to allow it to come in. And, you know, the warning that God gives us that the enemy will try to deceive us. And so we need to guard against this deception. Go ahead, Beth.
It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant.
Okay.
Wow.
Sandy, yep. I know.
So this is Matthew 13:22. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke this word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Okay.
Did I get all those words right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You did good.
My glasses aren't working right.
I forgot my glasses today, too. Everything's like my arm's length away, so I can read it if you could see. So Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever you sow is what you reap. Mm. Literally, this is the verse as to why we have to deal with our sin. Sin has to be dealt with, because if we don't deal with it, we will reap what we have sown. So if I am sowing sin into my circumstances, then I'm going to end up reaping consequences related to that sin. And I can't tell you how many times, that right there, reality. And I often say, I have a little friend that I drive her nuts, because I'm constantly telling her, sin does not happen in a vacuum.
Nope.
Every time I sin, every time you sin, it goes through the room and affects everybody that is a part of my room. And sin does not happen in a vacuum, because we reap what we sow. There will be consequences that even though we may have even dealt with it, consequences can still happen. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody who's had an unwanted pregnancy, that's an example. You know, there will be a child that will be born. Or, God forbid, be their life taken. And so we need to know that there are consequences for our choices. The Matthew 13:22, that is talking about how our love for the things of this earth can choke us, so that we not, you know, be fruitful for the kingdom of God. And you know, the possession of things is not going to take care of our eternal destiny. And so to be a guard against that.
On the way here on the radio, that's exactly what they were talking about. You know, people, like, they're our idols, the wealth, the possessions, you know, everything we put before God is an idol.
Yeah, and we don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. I've done it.
This morning I was reading about the priest that... A man named Micah in the Bible, he wanted to have a priest, and so a man that was a Levite was walking by, and he says, well, come be my priest. And he took silver and made an idol and made him the priest over the idol for his house. And so he had this priest he paid 4 pieces of silver a year in his clothes and his food. And along came the army of Dan with 600 men, and they took his idols and said to him, and he goes, what are you doing? The priest said to him, and he goes, well, you want to be a priest for a man of 1, or do you want to be a priest for a man of 600? And so he got up and he left with the men of Dan. And how we, even in ministry and in circumstances, we can make the position, the power, the glory greater than what the purpose of what God intended us to do. Mm-hmm. And that's because we get deceived by the things of this earth. You know, the enemy will put them before us. The second thing he gave is discouragement, and he added with it depression. And I think of how depression is so prevalent in our society. Ugh. How much of our depression could be dealt with if we went to God and persisted in prayer?
Yep.
I'm not denying that there is a chemical imbalance that can occur, but how much of it could be dealt with? And, you know, it breaks my heart. And then, and so when discouragement and depression comes, we've got to bring before God these issues. Now, you're in Galatians, right? Mm-hmm. Go to Galatians 6:9 and read for us that verse.
That's the one I was just going to, actually going to interrupt you. I was good. On the tip of my tongue. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
Amen.
I have to go on, though. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good for everyone, especially those in the family of faith.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. So there's the promise again, not to give up, not to lose heart, which is what Jesus was telling the disciples he wanted from them. That's the reason why he gave this parable, is he doesn't want us to get depressed. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. Nope. He wants us to be encouraged in heart. And the third one he says is defeat. And, you know, it's we can get so defeated, especially if we've been in sin. And we need to look at how David prayed in Psalm 51 after he sinned with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed. He says in Psalm 51, 3-4, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and only thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you might be justified when you speak and you judge me. But, O God, restore me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with your spirit.
You know, we do forget. We sin before God.
Mm. Yep.
You know, we don't always acknowledge that like we should.
Or as I told my nephews when they were 16, if you have sex, you're doing it to the Holy Spirit. They both, you should have seen their expressions on their faces when I said that. I mean, this is something you need to be thinking about. You know, outside the will of God and marriage, it is not God's plan. And they were like, one, Aunt Tara said that word, and then two, there's like, it was a revelation to them. You just need to be thinking on these things, you know. Don't just go and do what you think you should be doing or want to be doing. Mm. The fourth one he gave is depravity and defilement. It's so easy for us to allow our choices to ruin our testimony and our effectiveness for the kingdom of God. And this is why Satan will tempt us towards things that will deprave us, deprave others, or defile us. And so he will use that as a form of, you know, just destroying our testimony. And so Psalm 66:18, it says to us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord cannot hear me. That's the reason why sin, dealing with sin, is so serious. And this is, I think, a theme for me since I have started my position at Grace, because the last thing I want to do is be a person who points out sin. And what in my position, my role as the Dean of Women at Grace University is to be the person who guides the women towards righteousness. And in order to guide somebody towards righteousness, that means sin has to be dealt with. I'd much rather ignore it, run from it, whatever. But, you know, we've got to deal with it because God can't hear us when we have it. The fifth one he gives is distraction. What are ways that you get distracted? How do you get distracted from God?
Oh, the TV.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anybody? You name it.
People?
You name it.
You name it.
The world. Anything in the world.
Anything.
Filling up the schedule.
Yeah.
Busyness.
Yeah. Busy. Mm-hmm. Big under Satan's yoke.
Yeah, that one's big. Mm-hmm. That one, I think, is busy. like a backpack trying to get on my back.
The busyness?
Yeah.
I always remember being under Satan's yoke.
Yeah.
But I have this coffee filter that I use. And it says God, spouse, kids, and then it has it in order. So you can remember to filter your life through that.
That's good.
I like that. That's good. Yeah. I like the concentric circles of concern is what we call it. Mm-hmm. You know, making sure we get our order right. Mm-hmm. The sixth one is disease. That, you know, the enemy of God will use disease to destroy us. And I can remember, I think it was Larry Burkett, before he passed away, he said that the enemy comes after us three ways, in relationships and finances, and I just went blank on the third one. Oh, and illnesses. And he goes, some of us are blessed with one, some of us were blessed with two, some of us are blessed with the attack in all three. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he was sharing his testimony because disease comes in all forms, from head colds to where we can't think, allergies, you know, to skin rashes to, you know, the horrific, you know, all bad ones that we don't want to even think about. And so that's why we have to make good choices in the things we do so that we don't welcome that into our life. What about delay? Anybody been delayed, you know, on what you would want to be an answer to prayer?
Yeah, that's that waiting time.
Yeah, we talked about that one a little bit in the first show. Mm-hmm. Delay is definitely a ploy of Satan. The eighth one is distrust and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And James 1:5-6 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then the last one he gave was division and disunity. Mm. In Acts 24:16, this will be pretty much almost our closing. It says, herein do I exercise myself to always, with conscience of word, to not have an offense toward God or towards man.
What was that again?
Acts 24:16, that you have to, Paul was saying, I make a decision within my heart to not carry an offense with God or to carry an offense with man. And if you think about 1 Corinthians 13, it says love takes no offense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or in some translations, keeps no record of wrong. Mm-hmm. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You need to come back because next week we're going to dive into the Pharisee and the tax collector. God bless.